نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الحق تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وكذلكم يقول: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. All praise and thanks are for Allah. We praise Him and we thank Him. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We take refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the sinfulness of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah misguides or allows to go astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is none worth worshipping but Allah, alone, with no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His final messenger. Allah says in the Qur'an, in the noble Qur'an, O you who believed, have taqwa of Allah with the taqwa that is due to Him, and do not die except as Muslims, except in a state of submission to Him. And He also says, Jalla Jalaluhu, O people, have taqwa of your Lord, who created you from one soul, and created from it its mate, and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And have taqwa of Allah, through whom you ask one another, and the wombs. Surely Allah is ever over you an observer. When the Muslims were preparing for Ghazwatul Khandaq, for the battle of the trench, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked them to dig a trench. Something that was so difficult for them in that time relative to all the technology we have nowadays to dig and to construct things. And they were doing it with their hands and with simple tools, spades, al-ma'awil, which are basically shovels, but they have pointed ends so that they can break rock and go into it. And we know the famous hadith that reflects the hunger of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa ardahum during that time, during that precarious situation where they didn't exactly know what was going to happen. When so many tribes from amongst the enemies of Allah and the enemies of the Muslims were gathering to attack them and lay siege to the city. Yet despite the hunger, and despite the fatigue, despite the exhaustion, despite the seemingly desperate situation, they continued digging and digging and digging. Until in the famous narration, and this comes from Imam Ahmad's Musnad, and also An-Nasa'i mentions it, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Fath al-Bari says that this chain is hasan, so it's a good chain in terms of a hadith. Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu ardah, says we came across a big rock, like a boulder. And in other narrations there's a description of how huge it was, how difficult it was. And he says, as much as we tried to break it, to continue the trench, we couldn't. And at a certain point, we kind of gave up. And he says, we complained to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We complained to him. There's this big rock, what do we do? And so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts his clothes aside. He jumps down into the trench and he picks up one of the spades. And as he prepares himself to strike it, he says, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. And the Arabic narration says, Bismillah, فَضَرَبَ ضَرْبَةً فَكَسَرَ ثُلُثَ الْحَجَرِ وَقَالَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ أُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِيحَ الشَّامِ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُبْصِرُ قُصُورَهَا الْحُمُرَ مِنْ مَكَانِ هَذَا. With the first hit, he destroyed about a third of it and broke it into small pieces. And he says, I swear to Allah, I have been given the keys of the Levant, of ancient Syria, Bilad al-Sham. And I can see its red palaces from my place right here. I can see them. And then he picked up the spade again and he struck for the second time. And he said, Bismillah. وَضَرَبَ أُخْرَى. He hit a second time. فَكَسَرَ ثُلُثَ الْحَجَرِ فَقَالَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ أُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِيحَ فَارِسِ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُبْصِرُ الْمَدَائِنَ وَأُبْصِرُ قَصْرَهَا الْأَبْيَضَ مِنْ مَكَانِ هَذَا. When he struck it a second time, he said, Wallahi, I swear to God, I've been given the keys of Faris, the keys of Persia. The Muslims are only in Medina right now, but he's talking about something so far away, so distant, so grandiose, so lofty of a goal. And he's saying, I've been given the keys of Persia. And I see Al-Mada'in, the ancient metropolis of Al-Mada'in, and I see its white palace from my state right here in this trench, I see it. And lastly, he picked up the spade for one last and a third time. And he struck that boulder again. And he said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. And he says, فَقَلَعَ بَقِيَّةَ الْحَجَرِ فَقَالَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ أُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِيحَ الْيَمَنِ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُبْصِرُ أَبْوَابَ صَنْعَاءَ مِنْ مَكَانِ هَذَا. When he struck it for the last time, he destroyed the remainder of it into small pieces of rock and dust. And he said, by Allah, I've been given the keys of Sana'a in Yemen. And I can see its gates before me now from my place here. And one other narration says, in this time, at this very moment. And yes, you know, we can say, of course, and this is true, that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Nabi'un, right? He's a Nabi, he's a prophet. And so he's giving us a prophecy here. He's telling us a fact of what's to come. But at the same time, what is he doing to the Sahaba? To their hearts, to their emotions. He's giving them a vision of the future. He's giving them a grand plan. He's telling them, yes, you may seem like you're in a desperate situation now. You may seem like you're tired and you're hungry and this is just going to be the end of it and we're going to be swallowed up because after all, we're just in Medina right now and these enemies are coming upon us to lay siege to our city. We're going to be destroyed. But he's telling them that there's something else that we're working towards. There's a long-term plan and there's a vision of the future. And he described it so well with such detail that it's as if they could see it too. And eventually this would happen because sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's giving us a prophecy. And although in his lifetime, there were Yemen also was opened, futuhat in terms of establishing peace and justice during the time of Abu Bakr. We had parts of Sham. And during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu arda, all of it would become a reality. However, the key here is that he's teaching us a lesson. And one reflection is he's teaching us a lesson of how we can have a vision for ourselves and the importance of realizing it. And that requires literally seeing it as if it's before your eyes. And I ask the brothers to please move up, Jazakumullah khairan, to make room for others and fill in the gaps. To begin on our own personal paths of our own visions, we have to ask four essential questions, which are, where am I now? What is my current status? Where do I stand? What is my status check in terms of something? And we'll go into different examples and different lenses by which we can view ourselves and where we are in our standing. And the second question we have to ask is, why am I here? Why am I in the masjid today? Why do I live in Dallas right now? Why do I happen to be in this job? Why do I happen to be in this part of my life or pursuing this degree? Whatever it may be, what is the purpose behind it? And the third question we have to ask ourselves is, where do I want to be tomorrow? What do I see for myself? And we shouldn't just write down anything when we do this exercise, but we should actually sit down and narrate, where am I in the future? What is the ideal state that I want to achieve? What is something lofty that I can strive towards? And remember, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you ask, then ask for al-Firdaus. Don't just say, Ya Rab, give me just a small piece of Jannah, I'll be happy. Give me the lowest piece. Let me be the last person who enters Jannah, like the hadith. But ask for the best. And so strive for the best and have lofty ambitions for yourself. And the last question is, what's the next step for me to get in that direction? What can I do to get there? Different angles. And we'll end here by just stating, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, some different angles we can look at. We can be comprehensive and include all of them or just include one part. One is spiritual, my salah, going to the masjid, my fasting, my recitation of the Qur'an, my anger, my arrogance, my envy toward others. A second is physical, how much I can lift, bench press, deadlift, pick something, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, my body weight percentage, or even my body weight, my diet, what I'm eating, my carbs, my macros, whatever it may be, my sleep. A third angle might be financial, how much charity I want to give. How much I want to save for my children's education. What kind of home I'd like to have for the safety and comfort of my family. Relationships with my spouse, or even getting married for those of us who are single. My parents, my children, my siblings. Education in terms of a degree or a skill set we want to achieve. Work in terms of a raise, a promotion, a specific role, working in a particular company, or even social in terms of the people that I want to associate with, that I want to be friends with. And then the 8 steps that we can take practically to achieve this, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, are one, purify your intention. As the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. That all actions are based on intention. Let it be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything we gain, if we say, I want a nice car because I want everybody to look up to me. Or I want this position because I think it's really prestigious. The moment that we lose that validation from other people outside of ourselves, we lose that trying to satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the moment when we don't get up in the morning to go work out. The moment when we see that donut before us and we're like, forget it, forget the diet. I was doing it for this person or this or that. But let it be intrinsic and let it be for the self and let it be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2, set actual goals and track those goals, which is number 4. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. As Umar radiallahu anhu says, he says, take yourself into account before other people. So actually track. And what that does is it helps us feel motivated and positive about the work we're doing. 3, begin. Actually begin. Actually put in the effort. As the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. Just start to take action. Say, if this is something I want to do for myself, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're contemplating about, just start. And that's the very first step. Next is 5, monitor the results and track them. 6, be patient. It won't happen overnight. Just like those palaces that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, it took several decades. And when he mentioned Al-Constantinia, Constantinople, that took centuries to happen. But still the Muslims were striving for that, from the Sahaba to later generations. 7, stay focused. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you make a decision and you say, I'm going to tread this path, then go ahead and be firm and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And 8, be consistent. Whatever it is when you're working towards this, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْقَلْ. The best and most beloved actions to Allah are those that are the most consistent, even if they're few. As some of us stand here before, you know, before each other today, we might have had New Year's resolutions that have since fallen through. You know, no progress on them, or we did something and then we kind of stopped. And as we're preparing for Ramadan, we're thinking, okay, I want to pray Isha in the masjid every day. I want to do Fajr. I want to prepare myself for this. I want to read the whole Quran or do several khitam in Ramadan. Let's remember these steps, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as I remind myself and I remind you all. And just a cautionary remark, which is beware of publicly announcing your individual, personal, private goals. The Nabi was functioning as a leader. And a leader needs to make that vision clear so that other people can have that buy-in and can join together. But there are so many studies, and just anecdotally, we know that when you say, oh, I'm going on a diet, it's not going to last very long. Because you get pleasure and you get joy just from announcing it before anything tangible has been done towards it. And with that, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Qayyum al-Samawati wal-Aradin, Was-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillahi al-Sadiq al-Amin, Ibadallah, ittaqullah, wa yu'allimukumullah, wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الحمد لله رب العالمين مدبر الخلائق اجمعين والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله الصادق الامين يقول الله تعالى فاذا عزمت فتوكل على الله ان الله يحب المتوكلين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل عباد الله اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله والله بكل شيء عليم يقول الحق تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن أبي بكر الصديق وعمر بن الخطاب الفاروق وعثمان بن عفان ذي النورين وعلي بن أبي طالب المرتضى وحمزة أسد الله والعباس وولده وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي كلمتي الحق والدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم أنت أعلم بأحوالهم فانصرهم وكن في عونهم وفرج عنهم ونفس كربهم وفك أسرهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان وبلغنا رمضان وبلغنا رمضان سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.